Will the House please come to order? And Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers. Childers. Childers excused. Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan. Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen.
Here.
Kimball.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Lubnow.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Patterson.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Shepperson. Stewart.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Throne. Throne. Wallace.
Here.
Swanitzer Dan.
Here.
Swanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Throne.
Excuse.
Throne excused. Throne, 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer today is again by Chaplain Del Hansen, representing Veterans Medical Center of Cheyenne. Chaplain Hansen.
Let us pause. Divine God, during your act of creation, you created the many wonderful natural resources which have blessed our state. You went on to command us to have dominion over the creation and the resources. So we ask this day that you would come to us now as you have in ancient times, guide our thoughts and actions, our words and our deeds, so that the resources and the bounty of our land may be utilized for the good of our state and its people. Allow our work this day to reflect the stewardship which you have commanded us to achieve. May the decisions of this body accomplish the actions which are in the best interest of our communities, our states, our nation, and ultimately the goals of your kingdom. Help us to remember and give thanks to those many blessings which you have bestowed upon us, our wisdom and skills, our time on earth, the fresh air, the many wonderful natural resources, and the gifts yet to be revealed to us. For Lord, this day we would seek your protection on those who have served and defended and protected our nation, our great state, and the communities, so that they may stand as a witness of your freedom, the freedom to provide the stewardship you've challenged us to utilize for the good of a state and its resources and its people. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, sure. My privilege. Oh, ours too. Thank you.
Will the House please come back to order? Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee, February 22, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Thank you. The doctor of the day is Dr. Doug Parks from the UW Family Medicine in Cheyenne. I don't know if Dr. Parks is here. And Representative Semlich, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor has been granted. Members of the House, I've got one of my favorite constituents here today. She is an employee of the Cook County Medical Service District. She is a clinic nurse at the clinic in Moorcroft. But most importantly, she is the mother of our newest grandchild, who is up here with my wife, Sheila. And members of the House, she is your nurse for today. Angela Haar, back here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Welcome, Angela, and congratulations to the Semlich family. Representative Edmonds, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the 60th, it's not very often that I get to have family here, and today must be a day of families. So I am very excited. For the first time, actually, she took some time off from her very busy schedule. My husband, Harlan Edmonds, and my sister-in-law, his sister, Dr. Hope Edmonds, who practices here in Cheyenne.
Welcome to the House. Representative Dirks, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I don't have any family members here, but there are some people here that spend a great deal of time with me throughout the year, whether they like it or not. The eighth graders from Lusk Middle School got up early and got all dressed up, and they're up in the galleries. They're mostly thinking about what they might do at the mall, but, Mr. Speaker, they do have an assignment, and one of the topics from which to choose is explain the differences between the Wyoming House of Representatives and the Wyoming Senate. So perhaps some of you might have some thoughts to send their way. The Lusk Middle School eighth graders, welcome.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Representative McKim, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also would like to take this opportunity to introduce some students from Star Valley Middle School. You know how often I get up here to do this. Tells you how many times people come over here. But they are here, part of the student council, and they're with their teacher, Scott Milne, and their principal, Kim Gazaire, and other escorts. Would you please welcome the Star Valley Middle School student council over here.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Thanks for coming from Star Valley and Lusk. Any other announcements? All right, we are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 8, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Throne. No, Korberg, excused, Blickery. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 9, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Blickery, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 41, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Connolly, Kraft, Dirks, Lubno, McKim, McComey. No, Brechtel, Yagi, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 42. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Connolly, Kraft, Dirks, Lubno, McKim, McComey. No, Brechtel, Yagi, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State Lands, and Public Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 3, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 36, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. No, Edmonds. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 37, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 63, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 18, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Kimball, Lubno, Miller, Stubson, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 23, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Harvey, Kimball, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. Excused, Hallinan. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 24, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Harvey, Kimball, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. Excused, Hallinan. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 32, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Harvey, Kimball, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. Excused, Hallinan. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Good work, committees. I know it was a late night last night. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the green list on your desk, which is your list of budget amendments for second reading. And note at the top left, it's got a time on it. Mine says 9:40 a.m. That can change, so know that if keep note of that. And this lists the order in which the budget amendments will be looked at today. They, as I said yesterday, they do not go in numerical order. They go in the order according to this list. And if you have an amendment that is not on this list, go find out where it is. And if you have an amendment that you think needs a correction or anything like that, get that in right away. You'll see corrected copies coming onto your desk. You can just take the old one and throw it away and replace it with the corrected copy. So, are there any questions about this process so far? Okay. Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer Senate File 75, School District Health Insurance, to House Appropriations Committee Number 2.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project, and Senate File 37, Engrossed Omnibus Water Bill Construction, to Committee Number 2 as they have an appropriation.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. As you'll recall, we changed up the order today. We're doing third reading first, and then we'll do second reading on the budget after that. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excuse me. I move third reading consent list consisting of House Bills 34, 39, 79, 108, 114, 120, 122, and 125. House Bill 54 has an amendment, so it has been removed from the consent list.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you, what is it after 114?
120, 122, and 125.
120 has been removed. That's regular list. There is an amendment on 120.
So 54 and 120 are the ones that will have been removed.
So the list is 34, 39, 79, 108, 114, 122, and 125. Will the reading clerk please read the bills?
House Bill 34, introduced by Representative Edmonds, an act relating to municipal elections, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 39, introduced by Representative Gilmore, an act relating to insurance benefits, usual, customary, and reasonable, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 79, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to condemnation, eminent domain, wind power collector items, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 108, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to insurance, health insurance reform, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 114, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to partition fences, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 122, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to disposal of livestock, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 125, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to subdivisions, separately acquired properties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Would anyone like to remove a bill from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers excused. Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye. Yagi, aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton, Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 34, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 39, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Illaway, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Bonner, conflict, aye to no. Okay. Miller, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Lubno, conflict, Lubno, conflict. Wallace, aye to no. Lockhart, conflict. Aye to no. Mr. Speaker.
Conflict.
Mr. Speaker, conflict. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 ayes, 12 no, 3 excused, 2 conflict. As to House Bill 79, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 108, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Lockhart, aye to no or a conflict? Aye to no. Bonner, I have you down as a conflict on this bill. Conflict. Bonner, conflict. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 5 noes, 3 excused, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 114, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused. As to House Bill 122, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 125, are there any changes? Semlich, aye to no. Buchanan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 2 no, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 34, 39, 79, 108, 114, 122, and 125 have passed the House. The next item for our consideration is bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 54.
House Bill 54, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to agriculture, Wyoming Food Freedom Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 and ask for its favorable consideration to House Bill 54. We heard a lot of testimony in committee from both concerned processors and from concerned home producers on what this bill may do in regards to meat inspection. Several of the home producers testified that this bill would let them sell and butcher their own cows without inspection, which just isn't the case under federal law. You'll probably remember those federal laws all came out about 10 years ago after the BSE outbreak. I thought there'd be another amendment on this bill that I didn't see this morning, and so I do want to apologize for the sponsor for bringing this late, kind of out of the blue last minute. But I do think it's necessary to the bill that even if we are going to exempt all these home processors and producers from state regulation, that there are federal laws in place that they still have to abide by. I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask you to resist this, and let me give you a typical scenario. In order for any rancher in this state to sell beef to a neighbor, if they sell it by on the hoof, if the consumer actually owns the animal before it is processed, they can take that beef to the local meat processor in town. Almost every community in Wyoming has at least one of these businesses that cater to custom cutting of beef and also cater to the hunters and wild game during that season. So if the consumer purchases at least a quarter or some portion of that animal, technically before it is processed, and they give their own directions to how it would be processed, it's very simple. You just haul the beef to town. The processor takes care of the rest, and they get their quarter or their half of beef. No questions anywhere. In order for that same rancher to be able to sell a package of steaks or 10 pounds of hamburger as frozen, processed, cut up beef at any place, from the ranch or at a farmer's market, they have to travel out of state to a USDA processing plant. There is not a single USDA processing plant in the state of Wyoming. That's what the folks that I know about do in order to be able to market their beef in that venue. I need to make a little bit of a clarification because there is another possibility. We do have a state meat inspection program here in the state of Wyoming. So the other possibility is if you are only going to sell your meat in state, you could take it to a state inspected facility. In order for, and there's only a few of those in the state. And the reason is that in order for the state meat inspection to be valid, they have to meet or exceed the federal standards. So, if you think that you may market some of your beef across a state line, then even with this bill, you're still going to have to take the beef out of state to a USDA plant before you can do that. Because in order for it to be sent over a state line, it has to be done at a USDA plant, which we don't have any of. If you are pretty sure that you are only going to market that in the state, you could take it to a state meat inspected plant. In our and I apologize for giving you a personal example, but if we sell a beef at the ranch in Northern County where we live, we call the guy from town. He comes out. He kills the beef. He hangs it up. Within 15 minutes, it's in his refrigerated trailer on its way back to his absolutely pristine plant in the town that we live closest to, where it is cut up and packaged and is handled very appropriately, and the meat is of the highest quality because that animal has never been stressed. If you haul an animal a long distance and you let them stand overnight before they're killed, that animal is stressed, and that results in a lot of adrenaline and other things in their system, and it results in a poor quality beef, quite honestly. In order for that fellow who lives in the town near where we are to become a state-inspected plant, by his estimate, would cost him a minimum of $400,000, which is simply out of reach for these small businesses in our state. So what this amendment would do is completely eliminate all of the benefits that we have just got our arms around by passing this legislation. Without this amendment, a producer could use those local small businessmen and keep those dollars in state instead of exporting it over a state line at great expense for a poor quality product. And really, what's the difference? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I don't disagree with anything that was just said. But the processor that you take your meat to in town has to abide and comply by the Federal Meat Inspection Act. It's required. Under federal law, right now, home producers have to travel to a USDA-certified facility. And I know we're in Wyoming. I know it's a burden. We're a small state. It's not fair. But... And home processors right now, if you want to butcher your own cow, you can give that away to your neighbors, to your friends. But when you start selling it, you're out of compliance with federal law. And regardless if this amendment goes on the bill or not, federal law is still going to apply. So I'd rather warn and protect and help out the home producers now instead of having the federal government come breathe down their back saying you're in violation of federal law when they say, I didn't know that. So the amendment itself is kind of innocuous. Federal law still applies. I'd rather just put it on the bill so people know when they're looking at this act that they still have to say, oh, I better go look at what the federal law is to make sure I'm still following all applicable guidelines. And if they don't, the feds are going to come. They always do. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 54. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. House Bill 54 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers excused. Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds, Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Yagi, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 aye, 14 no, 3 excused.
House Bill 54, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 54 is passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 78.
House Bill 78, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding natural gas taxation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Miller. I have third reading amendment number one to House Bill 78 as the delete the enactment. All right, we'll do that. Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 78 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment was brought to me by the association that deals with petroleum, asking for a clarification of this definition. What it simply does is, in the definition of processing facility, it's a processing facility means a facility occurring downstream and following the completion of all gathering activities and dehydration, if any. Just to clarify that there doesn't have to be gathering or dehydration activities.
Anyone else for their first time? Or second time? We are voting on third reading amendment number two to House Bill 78. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number two is passed. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 78, and we'll withdraw it after a discussion. Members of the 60th, there's another handout for you, and it's called Reasons to Vote No on House Bill 78. So briefly, House Bill 78 was brought at the last minute before we were down here. It's a response to the Supreme Court ruling a couple of months ago, of which the ink is hardly dry on. It's bad tax policy. We are at the beginning of a recession. We don't know how long it's going to last. And we need to encourage mineral development projects like this. This bill, as written, will cost Wyoming jobs. House Bill 78 narrowly goes after one company, one gas processing stream in Wyoming. It is clearly unconstitutional. The amendment you just passed narrowly defined it even more to this one facility. So it's even more of a slam dunk, another lawsuit, if you pass this bill. And finally, in the recent Supreme Court ruling, the department and the taxpayer were asked by the Supreme Court to negotiate a settlement based on the three valuation points left available. They ruled the fourth valuation point as not proper. I don't know if it was unconstitutional, but it was not proper. That's what the lawsuit was about. This bill moves it back to that point number four and overturns the Supreme Court ruling. Again, it's not the right thing to do. It's wrong. And there will be more lawsuits. And again, they're batting 1,000. If you want another lawsuit, vote for this bill. If you want to hope the department and this particular taxpayer can work things out, vote no on this bill. And then hopefully they'll work it out. I think the odds of not having another lawsuit are far higher voting no on this bill than voting yes. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would contend that the points that are put out, the reasons to vote no, are all not valid points because of the date on the bill. The bill doesn't go into effect until July of 2011. So it gives us a year to try to get this thing right. And so I would urge you to vote for the bill as long as that date stays in place so that we can get this whole situation right. We'll have one of the arguments of the industry was, let's go to an interim study. Well, that's exactly what will happen if we pass this bill with that date there, and we'll get it right. The fact that it only involves one company is because there is only one company in this situation right now. But if we let this go, there'll probably be quite a few that avail themselves of this this ruling that's ambiguous, as whatever ambiguous means. However, I think that we need to pass this bill on so that it forces a study or an agreement between. We would hope that they would arrive at agreement because that's one of the things that's in the statutes, that if the department and the industry agree on a method of taxation, then that will hold. So we hope that that's what will happen. If not, we'll make a study of it and get it right, get it where it ought to be. And that's the reason for the bill, is to force us to get on with the program and get a fair and equal tax on all the companies.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and strongly for the bill, I'd like to address one point, and that is this threat of litigation, which we may never get rid of. But this bill actually does it simplifies the definitions and the point of valuation, and by those two facts alone should eliminate litigation, but I'm sure we'll still see some more. One other thing is House Bill 78 will not reduce the number of jobs at this facility. The whole process stays exactly the same. My county, who is heavily involved in the mineral industry, is strongly in favor of this bill, and they've given me their support for it. So on and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Lebnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Constitution says that you tax at a point of valuation and that processing is deductible. Here's the problem. You've got this facility that's not all dehydrator and it's not all processor. It's both. And the state wants to say you can't deduct it at all because it's a dehydrator. And you have company X who wants to deduct it all, saying, well, it's part processor and part dehydrator, so we get to deduct it all. So the state wants to say no deductions. And the Company X wants to say it's all deductible. Well, the fact of the matter is it's neither. And that's what the brilliance of the majority floor leader's amendment was it says, all right, if there's processing there in the point between 3 and 4 on the map, you get to deduct it, which is what the Constitution says. And that's what we keep getting sued over and over about, is you're not doing what the Constitution does. So we address the constitutional issue. Now, this company was paying taxes before they sued us. They were paying taxes in the amount that they were paying. And they were suing us on language that we prepared, because it's our obligation to prepare clear and constitutional language. So, what do we have here? If we don't pass the bill, we give a deduction for something that probably we shouldn't be giving a deduction for. Because the Supreme Court said it's an all facility or a nothing facility, when in fact it's neither. We also create potential loopholes for other companies. And then, as you've heard ad nauseum, you treat similarly situated people unfairly, where you have one producer in a different part of the state taking a 45% deduction, and you have company X taking a 90% deduction on the same thing. And then this last-minute decision stuff, I guess it's offensive to me because it doesn't take into consideration the work that I did in reviewing this bill and understanding it. We had a Supreme Court decision that came out in November. I began work on this bill, or working with the people on this bill, in mid-January, and they'd been working on it since the end of December. So when you have a Supreme Court decision that comes out the end of November, we went right to work on it. There was no chance for interim study. This bill forces that interim study. We have an obligation as a legislature to create fair, equal, and constitutional tax policy. This bill does that. I urge you to vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Representative Miller, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All that sounds pretty clear, but it's not all quite right, quite like that. The Wyoming Constitution is very clear. The Wyoming Constitution requires taxable value for all minerals to be calculated before additional value is added to the gas by post-production, transportation, or processing. That's clear. Another Supreme Court case unrelated to this, it was actually related to a uranium mine that I used to be involved with up in Fremont County. The Wyoming Supreme Court stated, the objective in constitutional perspectives of Wyoming taxation is to ascertain the value of the natural gas prior to other activities which increase the value, including processing and transportation. Again, I don't know how we can be any more clear on what's going on here. And finally, this is the only facility in the world, or in this country anyway, that removes the H2S, dehydrates the gas, then they put the H2S back in. Now, this bill won't allow them to take those costs of doing all that. They do all that so they can put it in the pipeline, so the pipeline won't deteriorate, to take it to the main processing plant. The new plant that's being constructed in this very area is going to have everything in one plant, the same thing this taxpayer wanted to do, but we wouldn't let them, and the federal regulators wouldn't let them. They're going to pay more taxes because they don't have to have this extra processing plant to remove all this stuff in, dehydrate it, put it all back in, and build a 40-mile pipeline at over 1,000 PSI to get it to the main plant, where it removes by all kinds of fascinating ways all the sellable components of the gas, the CO2, the helium, the methane. The methane of this gas stream is only 22% methane. It doesn't even burn if you hold a match to us. And even if you could, the H2S gas would kill you before you could do that. You know, this is clear as a bell, folks, and what we're doing here is wrong. Finally, you know, this facility and this gas field that they're producing from has 100 years of reserves left at current rates of production. Don't you think they'd be trying to expand this thing if it was so lucrative? It's a marginal operation. Making things more costly could result in shutting the thing down. And that's just a simple fact. This is an international producer. They're looking at investment opportunities around the world. Frankly, I would love to see them double the production, hire 300 more people, and let's just charge them the same amount of tax we're charging right now without this bill. I want to see more of these activities. I want to see more of these high-paying jobs in Wyoming. Again, every one of these jobs pays a lot of taxes, and we're in for a very tight tax situation the next 5 years. Mr. Chairman, I withdraw the amendment.
Thank you. Third reading, amendment number one, has been withdrawn. We're House Bill 78, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers excused. Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim. McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Filth excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Buchanan? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 36 ayes, 21 no, 3 excused.
House Bill 78, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 78 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95.
House Bill 95, introduced by Representative Yagi, an act relating to the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 95. And ask for its favorable consideration. What this amendment does is target section 68405 of the bill. There are three parts of this section, A, B, and C, and I didn't support any one of the three parts. And instead of giving you three amendments this morning, I'm just bringing you one big one to take out the whole section. I do appreciate the statement this bill's trying to make. I'm going to vote for it. I just don't believe we need to make the same statement in 68405. I'd like to go through each subsection with you if I can. In subsection A, we are charging all public servants in the state of Wyoming with a misdemeanor if they violate this. I was surprised to learn this directly affects all of us in this room. Let me read the statute. Public servant means any officer or employee of government, including legislators and judges, and any person participating as a juror, witness, advisor, consultant, or otherwise forming a governmental function. Not only law enforcement, but I guess we and the judges of the state are now at risk, or I guess under more of a microscope. And I know at least three people in this body deal with selling firearms, and one of them is me, obviously. I sell firearms, and I have to abide now by all the federal requirements, but now I have the added burden of state regulation to handle one or two firearms in a sale, or I get a misdemeanor. And I guess I wonder how I'm supposed to track that firearm. If the guy said he's from Wyoming and shows me a Wyoming ID, do I just give it to him? What if he tells me he's leaving the state of Wyoming with a gun? Do I need to get a notarized signature to protect myself? Do I need to get a notarized signature that he's going to register the gun if he leaves the state? I don't know what the burden and the cost of doing business on me as a seller of firearms just became. You've made me liable and responsible now for following more guidelines that – if I can process all guns one way, I have to do exceptions for these, and I probably won't even take Wyoming guns at that point because it's just too onerous of a burden on me. Likewise, we have some people who come to these sales who I know cannot buy guns. They try to get their kids, their parents, their spouses to try to buy them for them. But now under this law, even though I know they shouldn't have a firearm, I think I'm, if they're a Wyoming resident, it's a Wyoming gun, I can sell it to them. And I don't know what that does to me if something happens with that gun and a crime is committed. It puts me in a precarious situation as a seller. On to Section B, basically what we're going to do is lock up and fine federal agents for doing their job. And I know we've been caught up in a lot this year, but I think we sometimes get lost on who these feds are. These are people who live in our state just like everyone else. They go to church. Their kids play with your kids. They live and work in Wyoming. You know, a lot of times I hear people saying we don't support the war, but we support the troops. You know, it's not a dissimilar situation for federal law enforcement officials who are doing their job. And I looked through statutes in our states and a bunch of other states this morning, and I can't find anywhere in any state statutes where we fine and can prosecute federal officials for doing what they view as their job. I just don't think that's warranted in this bill. Finally, Section C, we're directing the Attorney General to defend individuals on an individual basis. I personally, of course, I'm not a lawyer. We hear that a lot on the floor. Don't believe this section is constitutional. Article 3, Section 38 of our Constitution here in Wyoming requires that no appropriation shall be made for charitable, industrial, educational, or benevolent purposes to any person, corporation, or community not under absolute control of the state. I believe if the AG has to defend an individual, I think it violates the Constitution because he's an individual. And I just personally don't think it's the job of the AG. I would stand for any questions, but would ask you take this section out of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of view this as not a very friendly amendment. I think the purpose of this bill is to do exactly the opposite of what good representative is trying to say. The enforcement clause is the only thing that makes this bill different than a regular resolution. So if we want to pass another resolution, I think that's what you're talking about. To strip the enforcement clause is kind of telling the federal government, go ahead and do what you want. We don't really have our sovereignty. You can mess with our guns. You can mess with our wolves. You can mess with our water. That's kind of, you know, do what you want. So I think we're drawing a line in the sand here. I believe the people of Wyoming would like the line drawn, and they depend on us to uphold this line. So I'd really urge you to vote against the amendment, and I'd like to call for the ayes and nays on this vote.
One moment.
Mr. Speaker, does he need a second? I'll second.
Need 2 seconds. We have 1 second. Okay, we have seconds. We have enough seconds. Does anyone else wish to speak on this bill for their first time or on this amendment? Representative, for their second time? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe the people of the state elect us to follow our Constitution and do what we think's right, and not get wrapped up in the rhetoric and you know, the fervor that sweeps our country from time to time. I know we are the people's house, and it's our job to bring the will of the people to this body, but I think it's also our job every now and then to make sure our eyes on the ball and not get caught up in some of the issues just because some group or some individual you know, says it's the right thing to do. So I think this is a good amendment. I don't think it harms the bill. I don't honestly think the bill does that much. I would call it special interest legislation if a certain other legislator from the district that we produce firearms in the state. But I know it's a show of authority and of states' rights, and I appreciate that because I know what's happening at the federal level. But I think we have a duty to uphold what we were elected to do by passing good legislation, and I don't think this statement is part of is helpful to the bill. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 95. An aye vote is for the amendment, no is against the amendment. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan. Excused. Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen. Peterson.
No.
Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 14 ayes, 44 noes, 2 excused.
Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. House Bill 95, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird. Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
no.
Kimball, Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Landon? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 5 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 95, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 95 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 120.
House Bill 120, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to education student assessment measures, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thought your bill was next, but... Friends, I bring you a third reading amendment to House Bill 120 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is simply a clarification amendment. The purpose of the bill is to remove the writing portion of the test from the PAWS state assessment, leaving it to be addressed locally. That's been the intent of the bill all along. It was simply the request of our state education agency that if that was my intent, that I do it this way. And I would stand for any questions. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 120. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading, amendment number one is passed. House Bill 120, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles. Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lebno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Hales, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 9 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 120, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 120 has passed the House. Madam Majority Whip, would you come up, please? The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill 128, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to health insurance interstate purchase, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 128. Ladies and gentlemen, this changes the definition on page 3 of the substitute bill, line 14. It uses the definition of comprehensive individual medical and surgical insurance policy shall have the same meaning as disability insurance policy. It was brought up in committee that this was too broad and included insurance plans that do not include insurance for payment of expenses of hospital and medical services, and really the intent of this bill is directed towards health insurance. So I'm narrowing the definition to go with the definition of health benefit plan and health insurance would mean health benefit plan and health benefit policy. And under the Wyoming statute 2619.302A11, health benefit plan is defined narrowly to really just cover the health insurance aspect of it, and I would ask for your approval of it.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to address this amendment. As you recall, I spoke about this, I believe, on the first or second reading. And some things have already been done to this bill. There was a second reading amendment, which I think helped. It at least kept the department from writing rules and regulations until there was more clarity about what the issue was really going to be about. And this is an issue that is on the top of every constituent's list of concerns, both in Wyoming and in the country, health care, health insurance. And there's a pattern here. Last year, or the year before, maybe both years, one of the last bills in the session on third reading, last day, was about health insurance, health care, health reform. And these are big issues. They're not straightforward issues. As I said before, we had a health care commission which investigated these things. We let it sunset. If this were a resolution, I wouldn't have any problem with it at all. Let me say, I do appreciate the third reading amendment. This indicates what will happen when this bill goes through an interim study or is generated within either of our health committees and receive the attention and the discussion and debate that it deserves. It's an important issue. I do support this amendment. I'd like to close with a, don't laugh, sports analogy. It's very inappropriate for me to do so, but we'll see what happens. This whole issue of health care, Wyoming's not going to be a deterrent or a determinant. The only way we're going to affect the outcome of this issue is through our federal delegation. And the three representatives we have were here last week speaking to us. And one of those is actually in the debate and involved in the discussion and will have some effect on the outcome. And I think we need to encourage that kind of thing. The analogy is that our representative who is doing so is, if he's on first base, it doesn't matter how big the person coming towards him is, they're going to keep their foot on the bag. I urge you to support this amendment and defeat the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown.
Well, Madam Chairman, in support of the amendment and in support of the bill, I said in committee, I hope this thing starts a bonfire. It's really fun to see the states take control of something and start a bonfire and then see the feds running along behind trying to get out ahead of it because they wouldn't want the states to usurp their supreme knowledge of everything that's supposed to go on in our country. And I think it's a great bill, and I hope that you'll pass it.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment. Our definitions in our insurance code aren't intuitive. And so disability insurance in our insurance code means health insurance, by and large. That's a broad category. What this amendment does is it narrows it down so that those supplemental insurance programs aren't included in the plan. That's a good amendment. I urge you to support it.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time, prior to the sponsor, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. These are big issues, and they are not straightforward. But what we see happening in this country, not only do we see reflected in some of the legislation before us today in the joint resolutions and the pushback against federal intrusion, but I think there's a great opportunity here that shouldn't be missed to address these regional cooperation issues and how can we as Western states, for instance, try and help ourselves with these health insurance issues. It's so often it is urban versus rural. We're rural. And we have to band together, whether it's this or federal land policy issues. Think of anything. Energy issues. The Western states, the symposium to try and generate these cooperatives and collaborative efforts on a regional basis because we're not getting what we want from the federal efforts. And we believe we understand the regional efforts much more than we are understood by the federal government. We can drive these policy debates. The states are the incubators of these ideas, and let's keep it moving. Now, thank you.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 128, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 28 has been adopted. House Bill 128 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Bonner. Bonner, conflict. Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan, excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
no.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Conflict.
Lockhart, conflict. Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp, excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne. Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 2 no, 2 excuse, 2 conflict.
House Bill 128, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 128 is passed the House. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading.
Mr. Speaker.
Excuse me, Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, one of the people when I came down here 12 years ago have taught me an awful lot about the legislature, and she has been a rock for many of us. And let me introduce Representative Clarion Law.
Wow. I think that, oh, gosh, I think I better come back. Keith, where's Keith? Okay. Well, it's really an honor to walk in here. It's really an honor to be here. You know, I always feel really humble and just kind of teary almost. And when I see Deb sitting over there in my desk, you know, I'm just happy because a tremendous legislator. And I just think that you're doing such a wonderful job down here most of the time. Now, I have this bill here. Well, you know, actually, I do have a bill here. I think you just passed it out of committee called Official State Code. Now, you might think that's akin to some of my other bills that I sponsored abortively, like the state square dance and the state cookie and all those that I was well known for sponsoring. But this is really a good bill, guys, okay? It's a code that you live by every day, every one of you. And I'm so glad to have been part of this body, and I'm so glad to be here today to see your good works. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Clarion. It's great to see you. Thank you for stopping by, Clarion. It's always nice to see you. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading, the budget bill, House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, House Rule 13-3B, except as provided by House Rule 10-5B, only after a voice vote in which the ayes have prevailed, the ayes and noes shall be taken on the motion to adopt any amendment to a mirror budget bill which directly increases or decreases an appropriation by a specific dollar amount. So only after a voice vote in which the ayes have prevailed, we will do a roll call on a mere amendment that increases or decreases an appropriation by a specific dollar amount. So if you feel inclined to withdraw any amendments prior to a vote, please feel free. The first amendment is second reading amendment. Excuse me. Clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2010 and ending June 30th, 2012.
Representative Berger, Chairman Berger.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. There certainly were a lot of busy bees yesterday and last evening. So thank you for the paperwork. I appreciate it. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move Amendment 47 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what you have before you, does everyone have that? I know it gets a little confusing here. Hopefully they've all been, you've put them all in order based on this green sheet here. That's how we're going to work through the amendments today. And the Amendment number 47 is basically what we call a technical cleanup bill before you. It has to do with, even though the number of times that we've gone through in JAC House Bill 1, we still had some things that got overlooked. So what I'd like you to review with me is that on page 1 of this amendment, line 14, basically what it's saying is that we are asking the DOT Commission, or directing them, to delete 22 vacant positions, just like we've done with A&I in doing cleanup on vacancies. That's the first change. The second change is on line 16, dealing with University of Wyoming. It has to do with just citations of the year for the NCAR enactment. And then on line 20, we're dealing with, we forgot to add in bonding privileges to the university for their capital construction projects that we discussed yesterday. On page 2 of the amendment, this is giving authorization to the DOT for borrowing authority so that they have cash flow to work on their projects during the interim. And then on page 2, on line 15, I talked about this yesterday in the budget overview. It should say disaster and not contingency for that fund. On page 3, line 3, that is dealing with the ARRA funds for the community colleges and UW with their modernization major maintenance, and that is to be effective immediately. Line 7 is just language cleanup. And on the bottom of page 3, line 8, the language was to be a task force and not a learning council. If there are no questions on this amendment, I call for the question. I guess you do something now. All in favor?
Does anyone wish to speak on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 47 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House second reading amendment number 47 is passed the House. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And to explain this amendment to you, I would defer to my good colleague who comes from the Valley.
Excuse me, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the employees realize that the retirement system is in need of help, and I really appreciate the work that the retirement system has done. They're looking out 30 and 40 years in advance and trying to cover everything, all the draws that will be there. A couple things that we've already talked about caused the retirement system not to be as solvent that it needed to be, and that's when the recommendation came for the 2.87 from the employees, the employer and the employee to be paid. And I'm just kind of looking out for the employees here with no cost of living, with their insurance going up. I just think this 1.43 that we're asking them to pay, and especially there's a lot of misunderstanding. I've had emails, as I'm sure you have had, saying, oh, they're going to make us pay all the insurance, and it does amount to a sizable amount of money, even the 1.43 on a $50,000 income. So what this bill does is the employer is going to put in their section or their portion of the 2.87, which is 1.44, starting right away. And so the insurance or the retirement wants to have some pay in right away. And what this bill or this amendment does is states that the employer's portion, the 1.44, will be paid, and I think that helps the retirement system know that there is some buy-in to this. They are going to do their part, And this defers the 1.43 from the employees for just 1 year. And after that year, then the employees will pay. So I'm thinking just to help the employees understand what is going on with the retirement system, this bill just says we'll give them a year to get planned, get some planning on this, and after that, they will pay. So I think that's in essence what we're trying to talk about here. So I'll stand for questions. Thank you.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Majority Floor Leader. I would caution the body about the fact that we've got Senate File 72 that's coming up on general file, I don't know, maybe 9, 10 o'clock tonight or sometime. I don't know. But, you know, what this amendment you have before you right now is symptomatic of is the very thing that got the retirement system in the trouble that it's in right now. The amount that's being requested, 1.4%, whatever, that's not an onerous amount considering the generous wages enhancements that we've had the last 5 or 6 years. I think if you look at the average employee, at least the ones I've talked to and heard emails from, they realize it's their retirement system, and they realize that it's in their interest to get this retirement system at a healthy level of funding that it's not at right now. So again, it's measures like this since 1980 that have come up and gone and come up and gone that has got us in this funding deficiency that we're facing right now, and it's, you know, it's time to pay the fiddler this year on this. And I would urge you not to vote for this amendment at all. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'd like to add just a little bit of clarification to this. The good speaker right before me mentioned Senate File 72 that you will be hearing. If this amendment is successful, what this will do is simply alter the timelines for Senate File 72. What it currently says is that, as my good colleague explained in his introduction, that the employees and the employer will be paying into the state retirement system. No one argues that the state retirement system needs these monies. Nobody says don't make them pay. Nobody says let's have another free ride. What we're saying is you are looking at a number of employees around the state that are all of a sudden going to be looking at a drop in their take-home pay of approximately $50 per month. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but you add it into potential insurance increases, you add it into cost of living, all of those different things. We're talking about people who don't often save a whole lot of money, and this is a significant thing for them to do immediately. All we are asking is to defer the employee's contribution to the state retirement system for 1 year. That's all. The employers will begin to pay just as the proposed legislation states. We're just asking for a payment deferral of 1 year for the employees so that they have time to get used to it. So we actually have time to kind of tell them exactly what's happening and what they can expect. That's all we ask. We also would like to point out to you that there's $48 million that the governor has currently placed with the state auditor's office. This is an immediate one-time injection. So if we utilize this money, then we can afford, without additional funding, to stage in this idea, so that it doesn't happen all at once. So employer, immediately, employee, 1 year later. That's the essence of the budget amendment, and I would urge your consideration and passage of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bagby or Conley, which one was first? Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my district, I realize this covers all state employees, but in my district, I have a lot of correctional officers. And there's also a lot of new correctional officers going that's hired at the new prison in Torrington. And I'm speaking mainly for them, but I would ask for this year deferment. It doesn't sound like a lot of money, but they had just got their insurance raised. And now they're asked to pay more money into their retirement. And I think it's not too much to ask for a year to defer this. The thing of it is, the Department of Corrections, if you're a correctional officer, that's not an easy place to work. That's a hard place to work. And their turnover rate is high. And one reason that a lot of these dedicated correctional officers work for the state is because of the benefits. And I just hate to see a big turnover, and I think it would I would ask you to defer this and support the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I need to declare a conflict on this amendment, and then I want to speak in favor of it. One of the previous speakers talked about how we need to take into account that those individuals affected by the state retirement system make generous wages. And I'd like this body to remember that those that are members of the state retirement system are about 30 to 40% of all workers in our state, as well as individuals who do custodial work, who work as office staff, as well as physicians. The overwhelming majority are not well-paid workers. And what is being proposed right now impacts the bottom line of weekly wages. And we're asking folks over a two-year biennium period to have no ECA, but to have weekly wages reduced. So therefore, I would strongly urge us to pass this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I look at the folks in private industry and the lack of raises that they've had over the last year or two. I look at the increases in their health benefits that have reduced their take-home pay. I look at the ones in my county that have been laid off, which amounts to a very large number. And I think that we're all hurting. But as we're asking for a delay in this, what we're doing as well is that we're also supplementing further so that people can save money for their retirement. And I think that when you're talking about all of the people in the state and the burdens that they are bearing, it seems to me that we all need to take a little bit of this burden and share it on and against the amendment.
Representative Petters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to rise on and against the amendment, but not for any substantive piece that has been spoken on. These are all great arguments, and I think that we can have that debate during when this actual 72 hits general file. Yeah, we're on target to have that. If we want to do it at that point, let's do it. And these are all legitimate arguments. I'm not going to tell you one way or another on this, but this is just not the appropriate place to do this. This is an appropriate amendment to Senate file 72. It's not good to put it inside the budget and have it re-reflect a law that we haven't even discussed on the floor yet. Because if we have a different discussion on the floor, we've got to go back and then reissue this, because let's say that we come to a whole nother date. And so I would encourage the body to resist it on as a budget amendment, but have these exact conversations, and I think they're completely appropriate, to be brought when 72 hits the floor. But for now, let's put this off until the appropriate time.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to tell the body, all I've heard so far is basically state employees. They are actually the smallest part of this insurance plan that we're talking about. Educators are far and away the largest group, followed by city and county employees. The state employees are the smallest part of this. So we're talking a very broad spectrum of people in this retirement system. This is a big, big system, and it's got a lot of different people in it. So let's not lose track of that's what we're talking about. I have not disagreed with anything that's been said here, but I do have an empathy for these people that all of a sudden we've decided as a legislature, wham, we're going to hit you with this right now. And some of them don't get it. They don't understand it. And I think if we delay it, that would be give them some time where their agencies and their cities and their counties and the people from the retirement system could go out and explain the need to them, explain what's happening, because I don't think this is the only increase they're going to see in the next few years to bail this operation out.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the proposed amendment, I think it's been stated that the state retirement program has been good. It's an incentive for people to be in the employee of the state. And to keep it robust, everybody's got to give a little bit. And that is the states can put a little more money into the retirement fund, but the individuals who benefit from this robust system have some obligation too. And as you look at the comparators of other retirement systems around the state and nation, our state retirement system is very strong, and we want to keep it that way, but it does take some sharing in this time when income is down from the investments that were made with the retirement fund, and I think it's an appropriate thing to have the employees in this case participate in a small way in their ultimate retirement. It's not unusual in the private sector. I think it's something you'll see more and more of in other sectors.
Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, one of the comments that were made earlier, I have to push back on a little bit, and that's concerning the salaries to our education community. We've just made a lot of progress over the last 5, 6, 7 years, and I'd like to recognize those increases. I think it's important that employees realize that this is not a state retirement system. This is a public employee system. This is independent of state government. And I would ask them, do you want to ensure that it's going to pay a guaranteed benefit monthly for life after you retire? Who here wouldn't leap at the opportunity to have a contribution towards our retirement immediately matched 100%, and it would guarantee such a valuable benefit once we retire? I just can't help but think that ownership in this and a better understanding by state employees is they will recognize the value of this defined benefit plan. And I think that it's important to participate in it in order to have ownership. So on and against the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to make the body aware of the type of debate that we had in appropriations when we looked at this particular issue. We had different scenarios constructed for us with the appropriated costs that would go with them. The amendment that you're looking at is the most costly, and that is where the state would pay the full 2.87% of the increase immediately starting in 2011. The other things that we looked at was the possibility, which was the governor's original recommendation, that we delay for a year in terms of implementing anything. And then we came up with some hybrid systems where rather than fully implementing the 2.87 now, you would start with a lower amount, say a 1.44% this year, and then go to the full 2.87% next year. The reason we did not end up with the recommendation that you have before us is because, quite frankly, it was a budget buster. I don't have my notes with me for this particular debate, but it seemed to me it was close to $88 million, which we do not have set aside at this point. And so the question would be is where would you come up with the additional money should this be implemented? Because we do not have it built into the budget as it exists. And so for that reason, it becomes problematic not knowing the full implications of implementing this particular amendment.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is a terrific prelude to tomorrow, hopefully, that we can have Senate File 72 on the floor. But what I'd like to remind this body of or familiarize you with is that the public employee plan is at 14, we're suggesting at 14.12% effective in September 2010. We delayed that so that we could try to educate the employees of this system of this increase. That split, you are right, it's 1.44% for the employer and 1.43% for the employee. That impact on a state as an employer is that they will pay 12.69% of this retirement benefit, with the employee paying 4.3%. I think it's important for us to remember that this plan was put into place in 1978. And we have not had an increase. In 1991, what we did as a state, we didn't have a lot of money. And what we found that was beneficial was to enrich the health benefits and the retirement plan for state employees rather than a salary, because that was a more beneficial way for the employee. They actually could take more home in their paycheck. So that was the last time that we made a change. The retirement system has found a home in JAC, so we have been listening to the retirement system and all of the actuaries and various proposals over the summer during the interim. And this is what we concluded that was important to do. The fund was underfunded. It's still a healthy fund at about 80-plus percent. We are recovering from the downturn in the economy over the last 18 months. And so I would just suggest that we wait to have a further debate on this when the bill does come to us. And I would encourage you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Cohey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I could echo some of the same remarks. And I recall some of the discussion about other placements into the retirement system. Public employees were told years ago that since public employment pays a lot less than market conditions, we're going to implement a retirement system and put in about 11.25%. And it's assumed that you, the employee, will be putting in half and the state will be putting in the other half. But ultimately, since then, we've had discussions. Of course, you know, state employees receive remarkable benefits, at least compared to the private sector. But recently, we've had discussion about market pay as well. So now you have extremely good benefits, you have extremely good retirement package, and you have market pay discussions included in there, particularly in the education sector. Let's talk about the private sector a little bit, and where, you know, people that are in private enterprise go to their employees, they don't say, well, gee, we're going to take a year and soften the blow for you. For the long-term sustainability and the success of the company, it's imminent that we do something right now. We have a local mayor, shouldn't even say local, but there is a mayor nearby that caught a little bit of grief in Sunday's paper for taking a wait-and-see attitude. That's what this is kind of a wait-and-see attitude. Frankly, folks, the statistics are there. The thing is in trouble, and there isn't any doubt that something has to be made. And for the people that are going to benefit the most, to chip in a little bit additional for it is not an unreasonable thing to do, and not an unreasonable thing to ask them to do it now.
Representative Patton. Your microphone, please.
That was on. There it is. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ask the question, if this were to pass, how does it affect the possibility of addressing this issue as House Bill 72? Does it if we don't pass it, does it make 72 more vital, or does it negate it? If one of the proponents had help me out, that would help out my vote.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a real hard I can agree with what everybody has said about this, but I have a hard time voting for something when it hasn't occurred. On line 7, it says, amended by 2010 Senate File 0072, as enacted into law. It hasn't been enacted into law. We haven't even heard debate on it. It's on general file. So I can't, in good conscience, no matter whether I agree with it or not, can I vote on this? Because it hasn't been enacted into law.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Hammonds.
Mr. Chairman, as people think about this, one of the things you have to consider, for those of you who are concerned about the people who did not get any pay raise this year, and this, in essence, is going to be taken from their paycheck and how they're affected personally, there are other solutions. The solution before you is the most costly. Another way that you could do it is you would just simply have the state pay their half for that first year. And so you would, in essence, make it 1.44 that first year instead of 2.87 that would be going into the retirement. We have the money budgeted for that right now. The other alternative is that you can wait a year, as the governor has recommended, and see what happens with the market, and there are many people on both sides of that issue. So the only choice isn't the amendment that you see before you, if your concern is the impact on the paychecks of so many of the states and the school system's employees.
Anyone else for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment 19 has failed. Chairman Illaway.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable vote. We talked about this yesterday, and this is found on page 9 of the budget bill, line 24 of the school foundation program account appropriation. $270,000 shall only be expended during the period and so forth to study the long-term effects of the Hathaway Student Scholarship. There's enough people in the Department of Education that they ought to be able to get this done without expending any funds outside. So I would call for the question, and I hope it's affirmative.
Anyone else for their first time? One moment, please.
Mr. Speaker, I did tell the body that I would try to explain how this situation happened.
Please proceed.
There is $1.181 million that was originally put into this Hathaway longitudinal study. The Department of Education asked that that money be transferred to a different account and so that that money could be used for new computers and software for another division. Then a footnote was added because the appropriations added the fact that, well, now there is no money. If you look at the page for the Hathaway longitudinal study, you'll see that the governor's recommendations was zero. And so one of the JAC committee members made the recommendation that $135,000 per year be paid to the Department of Education in order for them to continue the Hathaway longitudinal study. And so that brings you to the biennium total of $270,000. If you're just removing the money, then you're just asking the Department of Education to continue that study as it's outlined in the footnote, but without the funding for it. And that it would be the result of this action.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It seems to me that we were told that this is a 10-year project. So let's cut it out now and get done with it.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The second reading amendment number 18 is passed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, under our rules, we now need a roll call vote. We could move to suspend the rules if it was the mood of this body to not have to do roll call votes on decreases in the budget. But any suspension of the rules requires a motion and a two-thirds vote. And it can be a roll call or by standing vote.
Mr. Chair.
And the motion must include the reasons for suspending the rules. Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we suspend the rules on roll call votes for motions that decrease the budget.
A discussion?
Mr. Speaker, the explanation and the reasoning is, I think as we decrease the budget, I think we all know what we're voting on, and I think it's a issue that where we're taking money out, it's not as significant an issue as if we add money to the budget. And given the fact we have 60 amendments to work through today, I think it would expedite the process.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, sometimes when we try and be expedient, we step on people's toes. That rule was put in there for a reason. And that was to protect other people and their rights and their votes. And I would ask the body to resist this amendment and continue with what we've done in the past, because I truly believe that it's the fair and best way to do this.
Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the motion as stated to suspend the rules for any not require a roll call vote for a decrease in the budget, please stand. This is for the motion. The motion dies. Roll call on second reading amendment number 18.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbudo, Berger, Blake, Flickery, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Bird, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Peterson excused, Filth excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Lickley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 31 ayes, 26 noes, 3 excused.
Second reading amendment 18 is passed. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is It's been since 1999 when the lowest individual deductible for our state plan, our state health insurance plan, was raised. It was raised at that time from, I believe, $200 or $250 to $350 11 years ago. The current then deductible for the state plan is $350, which is really quite unheard of. Most folks have moved to a high deductible with the health savings account. And so this motion we're currently renegotiating the entire plan with the provider, the administrator of the plan, and that would move us. It's a perfect time for this amendment as we go through this process to make this change and move that minimum deductible up to $500. That will save the state $2.5 million in insurance costs. And I'd ask, stand for any questions, ask for your consideration.
Anyone else for the first time? For your second time? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1, please say aye. Aye. As opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 20 has passed. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring to you Budget Amendment 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Last year, you will recall, we passed the Transparency in Government Finance Bill that established a sensible, phased-in approach. Started with a relatively inexpensive electronic portal, single doorway, glorified link page that gives Wyoming citizens the ability to go to one page on the state's website and link to all of the existing financial information in the various agencies. Not all agencies have that information available, but the ones that do, you can link to it from that one single page. Great start. But what that legislation actually envisioned is a usable, searchable, interactive, and analytical public finance website accessible to every citizen. And in order to get there, we need to spend some dollars to get that system set up and implemented. Many other states already have these up and running. Our legislation and system is modeled directly after the one in Utah, where in the first year of a biennium, they put the system together to go across all of state government, so any citizen can go there and easily search and see how much money all of state government is paying for anything. They can go there, they can see where the tax revenues are coming from and slice it and dice it any way they want, anytime they want. The second year of the biennium, they drove that down to the local level. They set the initial system up so that it was easy for counties and school districts to integrate and upload their information on a consistent basis, and then they had the whole system put together. They spent about $300,000 to do that, and that's what this amendment says, that within the budget that the Department of A&I already has, that they need to spend $300,000 of that budget to implement this system.
Representative Harshman. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just standing in support of the amendment. I think this is a great initiative, and I think we just got to keep moving forwards. And I'm not, you know, as appropriations member, it's hard to kind of stand up and say support adding money to the budget, but I think this is a worthwhile initiative, and I'd urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if we're cutting the budget like we just did on took money away from community colleges and the university on the $270,000. I think this is something that could wait until our budget gets a little bit better.
It's while it's a great thing to talk about clear and open government, this is not the time to be sticking some more money in the budget on and against the amendment.
To clarify, folks, this doesn't add money. It's of the general fund appropriation. It simply redirects it. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I realize it doesn't add any money to the bottom line of the budget, but at one point there was a certain total in that line item that I assume that the administration and information people had a use for. So I guess the critical question for me before I could vote on it is what is it they've got to set aside? What is it they have to not do in order to do this? You know, I just wonder if we're getting in an area of telling the tail wagging the dog type of thing.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, thank you for clarifying this is not an addition to the budget. There's no new money in here. And, in fact, this is a reallocation of the department's budget submission that was approved. That, some of you have heard me say this before, that is earmarking. That is what goes on in Congress that everybody is railing about, is earmarking, where you allow an agency to put in a budget request, allocate it as they see their needs, pass that budget request, and then reallocate the money. And you say, well, I'm not increasing the budget, and that's true, you're not increasing the budget, but it's exactly as the last speaker said. This $300,000 has to come out of something else that was in the original budget that was submitted and approved. That is earmarking, and it's something that we shouldn't do, in my opinion, any more than Congress ought to do. It's on and against the amendment.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on in favor of this budget amendment. I would just remind the body that this budget number 6, administration and information, they have 10% flex in their entire budget for the two-year cycle. If you'll look in your book, I think their total technology appropriation for the 2 years is $57 million. If ever we needed to define how we would like $300,000 expended right now, I think it's now, and I think it's on this particular project where we have started talking about being more transparent to the public and to the citizens of this state about what's available to them through the state of Wyoming, how we spend their money. Understand, we raise no money in the state. We're spending their money, and I think this is a worthwhile project, so on in favor of the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, and I have this observation. At times, there are things that the legislature wants to direct departments and agencies to go, and this is a methodology of doing that and allowing them to reallocate their resources, to find the funds to do this, and then also assess their priorities. So while it could be called a lot of things, including earmarks, as my good friend from Laramie would suggest, it also helps manage budget. If you take a piece of that budget and have it directed to something that is in this global view of the legislature and have them reallocate other things, they will find a place to come up with the money. So I urge your support of the proposed amendment.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't imagine not doing it. On in favor of amendment number one. You know, if given a bet or a market tip that would allow me to make 10 or 20 to one, you know, I'd take that about every time. I think this would work that way. I would imagine that states with transparency, like what's being suggested here, have a better budget condition than the states that don't.
Representative Harshman.
On our second time.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I heard just a couple comments, and I wanted to talk about them. One about the tail wagging a dog, and I think that's really why we're elected. We're just one or 60 or whatever, but that's the idea, is to come down here and wag a big old dog called state government. And that's what we're elected to do. So wag away on that thing, sling them around, the old thing, smack them off the floor, whatever you need to do to make it work for the people. And so that's what we're here for. Secondly, to compare this thing to a federal earmark, you know, it would be not only apples, orange, it wouldn't even be crab apples, orange. It might be like, gosh, I don't know, like a tactical nuclear weapon to a rubber band gun. I don't know. That is so far off the mark that I just hope you don't go there. Earmarks at the federal level, you know, the last spending bill was 9,000 earmarks that added money to a separate bill that has nothing to do with that bill. So a bill on education, you could put an earmark in for dairy cows in Wisconsin. Has nothing to do with that. This is totally different than that. And we're coming down here to wag the dog, and this is a, you know, we're not adding, and I spoke inappropriately, we're not adding more money to the budget. It's simply taking a huge budget and saying, go forth and continue this effort. And by the way, the department, A&I, wants to do this. It's not like we're dragging them kicking and screaming. They want this direction, and they've already taken the initiative. So, and then I guess the last thing, just really think about it. How much do you know about state government and how money is being spent? Dig out your budget book. Dig out your budget bill. How much do you really know? Not much. And so, on and for the amendment, and I applaud the bringer of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for my second time. Well, I've, you know, I also challenge you to how much do we know about state government. The Department of Administration and Fiscal Control, I mean, excuse me, of Administration and Information really wanted to do this, then I would imagine that would have been their request. We don't know on this body what they were going to do with this $300,000, but we are now standing up here debating something that we didn't have an opportunity to hear, and I'm not real sure that the Appropriations Committee got to ask that same question. I'm not against transparency in government. I'm saying with what we're doing right now, this went through the governor's office, it went through the appropriations, and now all of a sudden we've decided we're going to take this money and put it someplace else without knowing what it was going to do, where it was at. On and against the amendment.
Representative Brown, rebuttal.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it is in fact an earmark, and I had it off the internet, and I will get it again, and this won't be the last time this happens in this budget, and I'll bring it up here and demonstrate to you. But it is an earmark. Make no mistake about it. And you're taught, the person that's railing against it is one of the few people that purports, at least, to have gone through this budget in some detail, purports to know something about what's going on, purports to say that he reviewed this budget when it was submitted and approved it and said the allocations that were in there by the department were proper. And now he comes in here and says, just sling this cat around because he doesn't have a clue what's going on. On and against.
All right, point of order. You guys are going to have to work it out over there. Because we're six amendments in, and there are 54 more, so play nice, all right? Representative Wallace, I'm assuming no one else wants to speak for their second time, but if they do, okay, Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Here's why you need to support this amendment. When the state of Texas implemented the basic system that we're talking about here, within 2 months, they had already identified more than $5 million in savings on things as simple as print toner. By being able to pull up an analysis report that says how much money is each state agency spending on print toner across all of the agencies, and saying, you know what, we can go out on the market and do some comparison shopping, and we can save the state $4 million. That's why this is important. What the state of Texas has also done is
Their system's been in place for several years. They are now rolling out a later evolution, a higher category of online purchasing for all state government that they predict is going to create a minimum of $48 million a year in savings. Now, scale's different in Wyoming, you know. Texas is a big state with a lot of people. Wyoming is a small state with fewer people. But nonetheless, that scale will be the same kind of value that we can drive with this kind of technology.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m. Committee announcements, Chairman. Excuse me. 1:30. Chairman Illoy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, number 7, Corporations, Elections, Political Subdivisions, will meet right now, and we want to work Senate File 34 in gross, continuation of insurance coverage, Senate File 57 in gross, telephone, solicitation, cell phones, and Senate File 74 in gross, subdivisions, parcels.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee in number 2, Appropriations, will hear Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project, Senate File 37, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, and Senate File 75, School District Health Insurance, upon noon recess.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Highways, Transportation, and Military Affairs, will meet tonight upon adjournment, February 23rd, in room H-17, to discuss Senate File 40, Establishment of Highways, Senate File 20, Text-Based Communications Prohibited While Driving, Senate File 62, Veterans Burial, Senate File 71, Disposal of Remains, Military Personnel, and Senate File 56, Fuel Tax Bonds.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1 will take the day off tomorrow, so no committee meeting.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Wednesday upon adjournment, where we will take up Senate File 46, Engrossed School Facilities, Charter Schools, and Senate File 39, Engrossed Post-Secondary Education Option Programs. And, Mr. Speaker, if there are no more announcements, I'd like to make a re-referral to Appropriations.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer Senate File 42, School Finance, Student Enrichment Instruction, to the Appropriations Committee. It has an appropriation.
Chairman McComey, would you make that motion when we come back for lunch, please? We've already recessed. Thank you. Any other announcements? The House is in recess.